It's Tuesday, which means it's time for TV trivia with John Tatey. And this week's category is what, John Tatey?
Sitcom theme songs through the decades, Patty. We're going to go round by round. We're stepping back through the decades. So it may be a little easier at first, and then you'll have to stretch your memory. And then the 70s round is a tricky one.
Now, will you be humming them so that people can guess from Name That John Tatey Hum?
No.
Okay.
I will not be doing that. Yeah, you can supply after that.
Yeah. I don't like that.
Last time we played this, and when Andrea was in the studio, she would sing.
Oh, she knew them, yeah. Andrea is off tonight. You are listening to the Patty Vasquez Show with Patty, with Andrea Darlis, but she is with Patty again. With Andrea Darlis, who is off tonight. I hope she's feeling better. And John Tatey is in for a little bit. Yeah, she's not feeling too good. And, you know, well, the other thing, too, is the schedule isn't helping anybody, you know, with like changing everything up.
And with the baseball.
Everything.
It's hard to get a consistent sleep schedule, I would imagine.
Exactly. So we have John from Riverside on the line. Hey, John, how are you doing?
Hi, Patty and John. Great.
Excellent. What's the number? What area code? I mean, you come from 708. What neighborhood is that?
Riverside.
Oh, duh. What is wrong with me? Why don't I recognize Riverside as a 708? I always think of Norwich. Why is that?
I forgive you, Patty.
Thank you. I'm glad you forgive me. Please forgive me, everyone. All right, let's get to Daniel from Wooddale, the 847. Hey, Daniel, how are you doing tonight?
Good. How about you guys?
Very well. These guys sound very energetic and ready to play the game, so I don't want to be in the
They're
way anymore,
up.
John. Yeah.
Oh, am I taking it over now?
Yeah, take it over, John. Take it away.
We are playing for an Apt Electronics gift card. Fellas, it's pretty straightforward. In each round, there are three rounds, by the way, you're going to be asked a question about where I'll read sitcom theme song lyrics to you. And you have to tell me the show. It's a quote from the show's theme song, and you give me the show. I'm not going to sing it for you, though, so that's the added degree of difficulty. John, we'll start with you. In the first round, the category is going to be 1990s sitcoms. These are all sitcoms in the quiz tonight. And, John, you can choose question A or B.
Let's go with A.
Okay. What show had these lyrics in its theme song? All the little chicks with the crimson lips go Cleveland Rocks. Cleveland Rocks.
That would be the Drew Carey Show.
Oh, so fast. That is correct, John. Were you a fan?
Were you a fan, John?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
All right, so one for John.
Yep, one for John. He was fast on the draw. All right, over to you, Daniel. Here's your question in the category 1990s. What show had this theme song lyric? Hey, baby, I hear the blues a-callin', tossed salads and scrambled eggs.
Oh, my God. Sorry, gosh. Can you say it one more time?
Yeah, no problem. Hey, baby, I hear the blues a-callin', tossed salads and scrambled eggs.
It's so weird, too, because it doesn't seem like it fits the show, does it?
A 90s sitcom.
A 90s sitcom, yeah. And this one went into the 2000s as well. It was a long-running sitcom, just like the Drew Carey Show. I'm going to have to give you 3 seconds here, Daniel.
I have no idea.
Okay.
No idea.
Patty, should we go for the steal?
Go for the steal. For the steal. Let's see if John's got
John,
it.
John, over to you. Do you have the answer?
Yeah, it's Frasier.
It is Frasier. Hey, baby, I hear the blues a-callin', toss salads and scrambled eggs, because Frasier was a radio psychologist, and so the blues would a-call into his show, and they were toss salads and scrambled eggs because they were kind of mixed up people.
All right, if you say so,
that's the meaning behind the lyrics.
All right, there you go. It seems to not, but you're right. Psychology is all
kind of makes sense.
I guess toss.
And Kelsey Grammer sung that too.
That's right.
That's
he
right.
did.
Wow, look at that.
John is providing extra. I should just go home for the night and John can run the quiz.
I was going to say.
He knows his stuff.
He's going for extra credit on this. You're my kind of guy there, John.
That's right. Okay, so after round one, it is 2-0 in favor of John, but there is plenty of time to come back. Daniel, you're going first in round two. The category is 1980s sitcoms. Question A or B?
This is me.
Question A or B would you like, Daniel?
Let's go B.
Question
please.
B. Okay, here's the theme lyrics. Show me that smile again. Don't waste another minute on your crying. We're nowhere near the end. The best is ready to begin.
It's so funny.
Can
is
you,
it, John,
can you repeat it one more time?
Hold on, I have a question. Is it the way John reads them? Because it's like it's so funny to hear you take all the like energy,
all
and
the intonation out of it. Yeah, it is tough. Okay, I'll give it to you again, Daniel. Here it comes. Show me that smile again. Don't waste another minute on your crying. We're nowhere near the end. The best is ready to begin. It's also cool that we play the music in the background.
All part
How about Square Pegs?
Square Pegs is not correct.
Square,
oh, Patty thought
Square
you,
Square Pegs. I'm sorry.
Just, Patty thought you were. Oh, Patty wants to sing Square Pegs. Okay, John, an opportunity to steal. Do you know what theme song this is?
Growing Pains.
That is correct.
Wow. Yeah.
John's running away with it here. Yeah, it was Growing Pains. Alan Thicke. The late Alan Thicke was marvelous in that show. He probably wasn't marvelous. I just haven't seen it in a long time. Okay, here's your question, John. You ready?
Sure.
This is still in the 1980s. Just the good old boys, never meaning no harm.
Oh, my God.
Just the good old boys.
That'd be the Dukes of Hazzard.
Correct again, John. You're going to run the
Poor Daniel.
Poor Daniel.
Daniel's probably like, I knew that one.
It all came down to A or B for the whole game.
Yeah, yeah, Daniel, you drew the short straw on that one. Okay, Growing Pains was tough. All right, it is 4-0 as we head into round three. But, you know, Daniel, you can salvage some dignity here. I'm going to let you go first again. Question A or B?
We'll try A.
A. Okay, here's the lyric. People, let me tell you about my best friend. He's a warm-hearted person.
Coach Rennie's father.
Yes! That's right. I'll finish the lyric for people who are listening in. People, let me tell you about my best friend. He's a warm-hearted person who will love me till the end. That is The Courtship of Eddie's Father.
Wow.
The Bill Bixby starring show. Daniel,
show.
That was I thought that was the toughest one of the games. So
really?
I'm going to ask Patty to pick out a delightful and gleaming consolation prize for you.
Of course, I think a Lou Malnati should be something that would make you would soothe that pain.
Okay.
Of losing. So
let me read the last question for John.
Yes,
just
absolutely.
For funsies, right?
Yes.
Okay, John. Here's yours. I think you'll get this one, judging by your performance in earlier rounds. Hello, world. Hear the song that we're singing. Come on, get happy. A whole lot of loving is what we'll be bringing. We'll make you happy.
Oh.
That's Partridge Family.
That's correct.
I was so dramatic there, John. Yeah. I was like,
John,
oh, come
drawing
on,
out
come
the
on.
Tension. That's right.
That's 70s are a little tough for me. That's a little before my time. But
boy, you did well.
I knew it was some family based musical program. So.
Well, that song is also featured prominently in the film Ant-Man and the Wasp. So
I gotta get out and see that.
It's really enjoyable. All right, John, congratulations. You've won a gift card from Apt Electronics. Say hi to our friend Steve Shapiro when you stop by out there, because they've been pleasing people since 1936. Not Steve Shapiro. I mean, that would be remarkable if he's been.
He's pleased plenty of people, though. Let's not kid around.
I would not kid around about that at all. And if you can't visit their store in Glenview, go ahead and visit abt.com. And we've given Daniel a Lou Malnati's gift certificate.
Hey,
Lou Malnati's, is the home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnati's.com. When we come back, we're going to check in with our friend Eileen, taking the kids columnist and travel expert to discuss the world's biggest children's museum. More after this on 720 WGN. That's right. School is out for summer. What are you doing with your kids? I've been trying to do adventures with my boys, and we're planning all kinds of trips. And one place I regretfully have to admit, even though I've been to Indianapolis many times, I have never been to one of the world's greatest children's museum. And to tell us about that and to scold me that I should have probably done it when I was passing through, at least when I was working there, is Eileen Ogins. She is a columnist. She writes the weekly column Taking the Kids, and she created takingthekids.com, and she's considered a leading national expert on family travel. And we have John Tatey in studio with us with two little ones, so you and I kind of have the both ranges of our kids.
I got questions.
We both have questions. Eileen, thank you so much for joining us so late. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm glad to be with you.
My pleasure to have you. So tell us about the Indianapolis Children's Museum and why I should have definitely have taken my boys when they were younger, and it's still not too late.
How old are they?
12 and 14.
Oh, you know what? Their new this new Riley Children's Health Sports Legend experience they've got outside, 12 different sports experiences. You know, I met a bunch of teens there who said it was really great and they didn't have to be embarrassed about trying a new sport. So I think it's never too late.
I have to agree. And well, my younger son Declan has special needs. He is intellectually challenged and has a form of autism, and he is always drawn to some of the great things. Now at the Children's Museum in Indianapolis, do they have like age restricted areas? Like at the Museum of Science and Industry, there's the Exploratorium where there's a height and age requirement, but they're very generous about letting Declan go in there even though he's 12, and he likes to play with the water and all the spinny things. Do they have areas like that, Eileen?
I think they're pretty open to everyone, and in fact at this outdoor area they have this incredible tree that is designed for kids with special needs, even as a wheelchair hoist inside of it, from what I could understand. So they're very inclusive, and these experiences outside, they're designed for all different ages. So they might have a toddler place where the toddlers can whack a tennis racket or a golf club. But then they also have areas within the same sport designed for older kids, too, and parents, because the idea is to share the experience together.
That sounds like fun. Good job.
So this is the Indianapolis Children's Museum we're talking about right now?
The Children's Museum of Indianapolis.
Of Indianapolis.
My apologies, yes.
So, Eileen, my question for you is, do you go around the country going to these children's museums and other attractions with, like, a clipboard in hand and a checklist?
Well, not necessarily a clipboard. Usually a reporter's notebook. And
a woman after my own heart.
There,
I love it.
When I was there, I was really intrigued by all the kids and parents of different ages, so I was going around talking to them. One grandfather told me he wished he was a kid again, and I was really struck by these teenagers. You know how hard it can be to keep teens happy doing anything with
Patty
their parents.
Knows. I don't know
and
yet.
These kids were like, yeah, this is pretty cool because I don't have to worry about being embarrassed here. So I was impressed by that.
I love that. I wish I'd had that when I was a kid. Trying new sports, it really is intimidating. It's a great idea. What do you look for when you are first arriving at a new place, Eileen? What are some of the, you know, I guess I want to know as a parent, like, I wish I had your eyes since you've seen all these places. What are you looking for when you're scoping
out a new place?
Well, I mean,
first of all, what I would say is before you go, you know, it's always good to do a virtual tour so you can, especially when you're going to a bigger museum like the Indianapolis Children's Museum, you can kind of decide what you want to zero in on or what the kids are most interested in. Maybe it's outer space, maybe it's their dinosphere. You know, you can kind of decide where you're going to go first. And then another thing is to see how engaged everybody is. That's usually a pretty successful place if it looks like the adults and the kids are having a good time together.
It sounds like a big part of your work is talking to the kids and the parents and just getting a feel for what their experience is.
Totally. And I think these days, for sure, kids are leading the way a lot more on vacation. You know, anybody who has kids knows if the kids are happy, the parents are happy. So the parents tend to listen to what the kids want to do and where they want to go. So I think that's a good thing because kids don't really feel like they're just being dragged along anymore.
Yeah, so that was I was thrown in the back of the Oldsmobile station wagon and I was going wherever mom and dad had it.
Interesting. Well, that's what makes this such a great destination for Chicagoans because it's less than a 4-hour drive to Indianapolis. And
really?
Oh, yeah. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, Eileen, I'm not sure if you know, but I think you can even take Amtrak there, can't you?
That's a good question. I think you probably can. I honestly don't know, but I think you can. I did hear actually recently that you can stay in a refurbished Pullman car in Indianapolis in the old train station instead of a hotel if you want to.
That sounds great.
Another kind of fun thing that's fun about this the outdoor the sports legends exhibit is that you know how sometimes on a trip it's so hard to find something to do at night with the kids, and you can always go there just for the evening at a much discounted ticket. So when it's cooler, that's a kind of a cool thing to do, because the museum and the Legends of Sports experience, they're so big that you probably need like a day and a half to do the whole thing.
Yeah, it's a great trip. I love Indianapolis. Actually, Bill, one of our listeners, wanted to join our conversation. Hey, Bill, what do you want to say?
Yes, I was going to tell you, no one mentioned the Cheers Mission. It's easy to get to. All you do is get on 65, go south, get off of 30th Street. Right there at the museum, go in the parking lot. When you pull out of the parking lot, you're right back up on the expressway, come north back to Chicago.
Wow.
No street traffic, nothing.
Well, so he's
pretty
saying,
easy.
Wow, he's saying door to door, get on 65.
Bill's done the route, yeah.
Yeah, John, get the kids
been
in the
there
car.
Many, well, my wife was from Indianapolis, and I took my grandson there. I've been there many a time with him.
So would you say...
Yes, it's simple to get to. Just straight down 65 to 30th Street, and right there it is.
And it sounds like you agree with Eileen's assessment that this is a top-notch place.
Oh, it is. It is.
It sounds great.
It's the number one museum. It beats the Children's Museum here in Chicago by miles. This one doesn't even come close to anything up here.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much, Bill. Have a great night. Take care. I love that door-to-door instructions.
Yeah.
And speaking of that, Eileen, before we go, as Bill mentioned that the Children's Museum of Indianapolis blows away our museums. Okay, fine. But have you ever been to the Adventure Science Center in Nashville?
No, actually. Oh. But, I want to say a nice word about the Chicago Children's Museum. I really think it's a great museum. So every museum has plenty to recommend it.
Yes.
I think what's unique in Indianapolis, besides that it's so big, is this outdoor sports legends experience that no one else has. It's huge. So... to encourage kids to try new sports and new ways to stay fit.
Well, don't worry, Eileen. The Chicago Children's Museum got much love from me earlier in the show.
Yes,
so
we've been talking about that
covered.
As well. I agree. And everyone should check out Eileen's column and her website, Taking the Kids. You can find her at takingthekids.com. She's got a lot of great suggestions about traveling with your children. We might have to have you on soon, Eileen, because I'm traveling with my boys to Europe. I have, as I mentioned, I have a 12-year-old and 14-year-old, but maybe we can talk about what it's like to travel long distances. Have you done that with family members?
Sure, absolutely. Right. And I'm actually heading to Switzerland with two of my daughters in a couple of weeks. So I'm happy to give you some advice. And your listeners can read my column in the Tribune on Sundays, by the way.
Yes, that's where I've read you.
In the travel section.
Excellent job. Oh, congratulations on all the great work you've done and bringing so much information to families who are just trying to find a different way to travel with their kids. I really am impressed and aspire to do work like yours.
Oh, well, I hope you have happy travels with your boys, and let them lead the way. I think that's one way to.
I like that.
It'll be fun for
yes,
them.
That's a great
have fun
point.
In Switzerland, yeah. Eileen.
Yes, have a great trip. We'll talk to you very soon. Michael and you will probably touch base and let me know. And we're on earlier sometimes, so we won't always be this late. So thank you for your time. Appreciate
no,
it.
No, I'm happy to do it. And happy travels, everybody.
Happy travels. Again, takingthekids.com, and read her every Sunday in the Chicago Tribune. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. Andrea is off tonight, and I am in studio with John Tatey. We did a little bit of TV trivia earlier, and then we were talking to Eileen Ugnitz about traveling with your kids and going to the Children's Museum in Indianapolis. Chuck has a suggestion, which I agree with completely. We love, love, love this place. Chuck, what do you want to tell us about?
Illinois Railroad Museum in Union, Illinois.
Yes, the Railroad Museum in Union, Illinois is excellent, and I highly recommend that everybody get out there. They have some of the old train cars. You can walk through and see like the dining cars. Tell us a little bit, Chuck. Wow. Have you what has drawn you out to Union for that museum?
I I'm an old railroader.
Are you?
I'm a railroad fan, yeah.
Oh, did you ever work for the railroad?
No, I'm just always liked toy trains and model trains.
Yeah.
And on weekends, they run steam locomotives out there.
Yeah, you can ride some of the old trains with your kids. They would love this, John.
Wow, yeah.
Well, and they have the Day Out with Thomas in August. Every August, they have like the full-size Thomas the Tank Engine. I can't remember what the other... I don't know if your kids are into Thomas.
No, thank God.
Okay. It's very expensive. Yeah, Griffin's not going to college because we bought all those trains. But I agree, Chuck. It is such a great time to go out there. And I bet you they have a lot of wonderful events throughout the summer.
They do. They have a website you can go to and check their schedules.
I will let people know. And then it's not that far from that Western town out there too. I don't know if I know that was up for sale, but I'm not sure if it's still around. Do you know, Chuck?
I don't know if the Western town is still around, but that was just down the road about a quarter of a mile or so.
Yeah, it's a great trip. Well, thank you so much for reminding me.
You know, it's not far from Woodstock either.
Oh, and you know what's coming up?
Which is a fun place.
Yeah, I'll be doing performing with Laughstock. There's a great comedy festival coming up the weekend of August 17th, 18th, and 19th. And we'll be doing comedy. We'll have comedy workshops, pop-up comedy performances all over Woodstock. So that's August 17th, 18th, and 19th. Chuck, thank you so much for calling. It was great to hear from you. Have a wonderful
Thanks
night.
Thanks for taking my call. Have a good week.
Of course, you too, sir.
Where's Union?
It's north. It's up toward, it's north and a little bit. Michael, which way is Woodstock? It's like north and west of the city?
Yeah, it's the northwest suburbs.
Woodstock's kind of its own town. I mean, that's more, isn't that more town area than I don't think Woodstock thinks of themselves as a suburb, do they? Do you?
Whoa.
You think you're a suburb?
As a man who grew up in Woodstock.
It's a suburb?
Yeah. It's a great town.
I always thought of it like its own sort of town, you know? Like, people from Kankakee wouldn't say that they're a suburb.
Ooh, shots fired.
They would not. Man. What news do you see?
Oh, yeah, what
do
news?
Do you see Chicago or do you see another one?
Or Rockford. What news do you get, Chicago or Rockford? It's a great question. Thank you, Ez.
Well, on television we would watch Chicago Fox News or WGN News, but we have the Northwest Herald, which is the local newspaper, and we have Woodstock Independent as well. So,
so you're not getting Rockford news in Woodstock?
No, Rockford's okay. very far away. Then. Rockford's about an hour and a half away from Woodstock.
All right. You pass.
Yeah, thank you.
You're in the fold.
I need my 338s to call up and let me know what's up.
if that's correct. Yeah, check out the text screen. When I get a chance, I'll pull that up. We haven't been able to log in just yet in this studio. I think I've been watching too much television this summer, John.
Is there such a thing, Patty?
Yes, I think that there is. With considering the last couple days have been absolutely beautiful. We've been going to movies.
Today was gorgeous. You know, I was heartbroken by the, not to get off track, but I was heartbroken by the Forest Preserve story because I... routinely visit Labaugh Woods, which is sort of in the same area, but part of that forest preserve system in the north of the city. And I just love it. And it's a place to go to be peaceful and to commune with nature. So it's just mortifying to me that it was the scene of such crass hatred.
Well, it's a very strange story. And I grew up at Caldwell Woods. And when I say like at Caldwell Woods, like that's where we used to go hang out. That's where I went to bogging. That was where we would go for hikes and we would go for picnics all the time. I grew up about less than six blocks away from Caldwell Woods. And knowing that this woman, you know, was accosted that way, it is painful. And when I talked to the folks in the Forest Preserve, I was very honest. I said, this hurts me and also reminds me of the neighborhood that I grew up in. Unfortunately, there are people like that. And look, there are people like that in every community. Unfortunately, I had personal experience with people who directly would call as a kid when I was in grade school at Onahan. I had kids that called me a spick and a wetback. I had kids that I had to run home because I was afraid of being beaten up. I was beaten up and not just afraid. It was, the weirdest thing for me is having the memory of being held down on the playground and my face smashed against the blacktop and the kids going through the garbage and shoving food in my face that had been not finished eaten by the kids who were bussed in. See, at the time, there were kids that were being bussed in from the south side of Chicago, and there was a lot of conflict in our neighborhood because people did not want these black kids being bussed in. And here, guess what? When the black kids go home on the bus, the only people left were like the one Asian kid and the one Mexican kid. And we were fast runners. But sometimes you get caught and sometimes you're, you know, eating, being force-fed garbage. And so when I saw that video of this woman just being yelled at by this man, it really felt the hate coming from him was unfortunately very familiar to me from that neighborhood. I know Norwood Park has grown a lot, and most of the people that I know are very open. But I also used to hang out at the Dunkin' Donuts there at Milwaukee and Devon with my dad. And, you know, a lot of his friends would say them. I would get into arguments with my dad's friends all the time when I was in high school. And they were guys like this jerk who was yelling at Mia, who was just there to have a party. I'm sorry. I know we're going to talk about this in a little bit. I didn't mean to get all worked up again. But on the other hand, our forest preserve system is incredible. There are so many great programs, such a beautiful part of our city. This will not be the thing that defines them at all. This was an unfortunate, whatever Patrick Connors deal with, who's the officer that did not, he just stood there with his hands literally in his vest, just kind of watching the whole thing. She kept asking
him
for help.
That's the bizarre part. I mean, the whole video is disturbing, but that's a very strange part of the scene.
It is. And people are asking, like, did he not respond because he agreed with the guy yelling with Timothy Tigress? Is that why he didn't do anything? Or, you know, some people are saying, well, you know, that guy wasn't really breaking any laws. And it seemed, you know, considering the fact that he was ultimately arrested and charged, that apparently legal intervention was necessary because ultimately it was used.
Be a member of the community, regardless of the law, is what I think is the answer.
Yes.
And on that note, how about in lieu of a TV recommendation,
yes,
I have a Forest Preserve related recommendation.
Yes, please.
Next Saturday, I'm going to be going out for my Trail Watch volunteer training so that I can help keep my favorite forest preserve safe. Just Google Cook County Forest Preserves and their website will come up and you can go on there and find information about volunteering in a way that works for you. But I'm really excited to give back to these forest preserves that have been such a revelation to me in the past year as I've discovered them.
I agree completely. Every year for Earth Day, we get huge garbage bags and we spend about 4 to 5 hours walking the trails, picking up garbage, cleaning up at the beginning of spring, beginning of the season where people are getting their bikes out and stuff. I love our forest preserves. So, I mean, that's why, you know, Mia was there with her family. It's a great place to celebrate and enjoy the outdoors. And there's, you know, there are places you can go camping and canoeing and there's zip lining facilities out. And there are. It's really wonderful. So, yeah, we'll talk about the law enforcement aspect of this, the escalation of this bizarre situation after midnight. And we got up a couple people that want to chime in on this, including John O'Malley and Dr. Susanna Flores, a psychologist. So we'll talk about that.
Great.
So let's grab some food because I know we got some gumbo to try out.
That's right.
We'll be back in just a few minutes. It's the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. John Tatey is in studio with us tonight. Andrea has a night off. More in a moment. There are so many great ways to celebrate summer in Chicago, and of course, enjoying some of the great food nights and festivals is definitely part of a Chicagoan's adventure. And we have in studio with us Matt Satow. Am I saying your last name correctly?
Close enough.
No.
Sato?
Mm-hmm. Oh, pleasure to meet you. And
nice to meet you.
Thank you for bringing in some wonderful food. I've been reading a little bit about Bukuru.
Bukuru, yes.
Well, first of all, where does the name Bukuru come from? Because it's just fun to say.
Well, Buku is slang for lots of something. Mm-hmm. And Ru is the combination of flour and fat that thickens many Cajun dishes, such as our gumbo. So we use a lot of roux on the truck, so hence the name Bukuru.
Well, we're enjoying it. We're in studio for the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. Andrea is off tonight. Joining me in studio is John Tatey, and you've had a chance to try some of the gumbo. Fresh sausage, by the way. This guy's he's not messing around when it comes to his food.
I came back for the gumbo. I smelled it from down the hall, and it was worth it. This is delicious. So the food truck, are you one of those food trucks that's going to be in the same place every day, or are you around different part of the city every day? Where can we find you?
We try and move around at least some. Mm-hmm. We're at Wacker and Adams a lot. Sometimes we come to the Aeon building.
Are people? Is there like an app where people can follow you and know where you're going to show up?
Yeah, there are some apps. I don't know how reliable they are, but we usually post on social media
where you're going to be.
Yeah,
the best ways maybe in Instagram.
Not so much Instagram, but Twitter and Facebook.
Twitter and Facebook. So we'll follow you at Bukuru.
Yep, at Bukuru on both.
Better spell that out.
I was going to say B O O C O O R O U X. So that's on Twitter and on Facebook.
Correct.
And you are you're partnering up with Bourbon. With Bourbon on Division for a Southern Night coming up on July 18th. Tell us about this.
Yes, we are very excited about it. They've got a great bluegrass band coming in called FY5, and we've got a really exciting menu planned, and they're going to be providing the drinks, and the whole ticket is only $35 for the food and drink, and then just another $15 to see the band, so it's a pretty affordable night for some pretty high-quality ingredients that we're going to be putting into this thing.
And this is going to be at 2050 West Division, right in Chicago's Wicker Park, over by there, in one of those great Chicago neighborhoods. I know for people who don't know, it's easy to find Wicker Park. It's a great area with a lot going on all the time. Are you originally from Chicago?
I grew up in the burbs, but I've lived in Chicago for some time.
Tell me which burb?
Hinsdale.
All right. Mm-hmm. And so where'd you study? Did you grow up with a house filled with the smell of cooking going on all the time? And curious about what with what when you were a kid?
My grandmother cooked a lot. You know, I used to cook meatballs with her, I remember, mm-hmm. when I was a kid. But no, I wouldn't say it was a big cooking household.
No?
I actually didn't start cooking a lot till I got to college and had my own dorm with a kitchen.
Oh, you had a dorm with a kitchen?
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean, like a dorm room or like a general, like a...
Well, no, like two dorm rooms that converged onto one kitchen. Uh-huh. So very easy access to
were you cooking
meals.
Were you cooking for everybody in the quad?
Not the quad, but you know, my roommate.
Yeah. Just your roommate. You're like, okay, you can try some of this. What were the kinds of things that you were whipping up together as a college student?
Any gumbo?
Yeah.
No gumbo. I remember doing a lot of stir fry.
Yeah, I did too. I liked you, and I just started doing this again. I loved using leftover packets from like Chinese restaurants to make my own stuff, whether it was the soy sauce or the sweet and sour, and the mustards and stuff.
Very thrifty of you.
I was very MacGyver.
Yeah.
But I started doing it again. I've been telling this story this week. I've been because I'm trying to eat a little bit healthier when I'm home, and I use my waffle iron to make tofu like with waffles, and I drag it through some ketchup mix with a little bit of never mind. The chef is looking at me like I don't understand where he's going.
I'm fascinated.
Ketchup, soy sauce, a little bit of the sweet and sour packet, and a little bit of the mustard, all from the Chinese restaurant except for the ketchup, which is from Superdog. But I'm trying to figure out ways because I have so many of these condiments.
Sounds pretty good, Patty.
It works out really well because if you squeeze all the water out of the tofu, right, out of the sliced tofu, but it's about less than an inch around there,
mm-hmm.
and I make sure all the water's drained out of there. You put it on the waffle iron, it crisps the outside, and I put it in there for about 5 or 6 minutes. It's tasty.
That's
chef.
That's clever.
Okay,
I'm just
try it.
I'm just saying, Google waffle iron.
Yeah.
I know he is, but Google waffle iron tofu because I'm not. I didn't think of this. I just wondered if I could Googled it and found a way to make my own little recipe.
I'm gonna look it up first thing when I get home.
I don't believe you.
What returning to more traditional fare? What makes a gumbo a gumbo?
Oh, well, in my opinion, there are two key factors, which is a great stock and just a really good roux, you know, a roux that's dark but not burnt. And, you know, if you can achieve the red roux, as they call it, that's when you've really got a home run gumbo.
Now, I'd heard of roux before, but you said I didn't really know what it was. You said it's a mixture of flour and fat. That's it?
Yep. And you cook it together forever until the flour caramelizes and it's easy to burn, like I said.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
If you ever had a really bitter gumbo, that's what happens.
Is that what the cooking of the gumbo hinges on then? Getting the roux right?
I'd say that and the stock.
Oh. Get the roux right. That
Get the
and
roux
stock.
Right. That's tough to say.
And thank you so much for dropping off some food. I know you also brought some muffalata for us, and we're excited to try some of that in just a little bit. We want to encourage everybody to get out and have some fun July 18th at the Southern Night Pop-Up. It's at 2050 West Division in Chicago's Wicker Park. And to keep your eyes open for Bukuru. Their truck is, you can be tracked on Twitter and on Facebook. And we want to thank Chef Matt for joining us. And I do need to know when you eventually try my waffled tofu, what you thought about it.
Oh, okay.
All right?
I absolutely will.
Excellent. Thank you so much for stopping by. We will see you again soon, my friend.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. More after this on WGN 720. It's a almost midnight, and we are hanging out in the Allstate Skyline Showcase Studio on this beautiful Chicago summer night. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. You're listening to The Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. Andrea has the night off, and coming up after the news, we're going to check in with our friend John O'Malley. He was on with Rokan earlier talking about the altercation at the Caldwell Woods when a young woman was confronted and yelled at, harassed by a guy who was mad. This guy, Timothy, was mad that she was wearing, oh my God, oh, God forbid, she was wearing a shirt that had an image of the flag of Puerto Rico. He demanded to know if she was a citizen. He demanded that she not wear that shirt, that she shouldn't be wearing that this is America. And there happened to be an officer of the Cook County Forest Preserve standing there for the entire time, at least in the 3-minute video that you see. And actually the video and the altercation, the confrontation, lasted for almost 40 minutes. So we'll talk with our friend John in just a little bit about that. He's a law enforcement analyst. He is a former U.S. Marshal. So we'll get his input on that. And actually, Dr. Susanna Flores, we've only got a minute before I go to the news, but I know that you want to check in about this too, and we're going to talk to you after the news as well. But this is how upset were you when you saw this video, Doctor?
Oh, extremely. It's just like another example of what happens every day to minorities. It's just that this is another incident where it was video or digitally, you know, shared on social media.
And somebody asked me today, do we think that this is happening more often, or is it being videotaped more often? And I think it seems like it's a lot of both, doesn't it?
I think it's a lot of both, as you put it. Yeah. I agree.
It's a lot of that. Well, let me go to the news, and we'll talk to Dr. Susanna Flores. She has written several books, including Face Hooked, and her newest book, which is called Remind Me, Doc, because I have it on my desk in my office. Thank you for sending it.
No worry. Untamed, The Psychology of Marvel's Wolverine.
I'm fired up. I'm not going to lie, Esmeralda. Jen, I'm a little bit fired up. Michael, our guest on the phone. I am fired up at this story that we've been reporting throughout the day. I saw this yesterday, and I didn't want to become part of the roar. I wanted to also take a moment to hear more about what was going to happen, how the Forest Preserve was going to react when some drunk guy started hollering at a young woman named Mia, who happened to have rented one of those, you know, little pavilions that you get at the Forest Preserve. She was there for a birthday party. She had a permit, and she happened to be wearing a shirt that had the image of the flag of Puerto Rico on it, and this guy started yelling at her, asking if she was a citizen, telling her she shouldn't be wearing that shirt in America, that it was the United States, asked her if she was educated. And the video that you see is about 3 minutes. This altercation went on for about 40 minutes. At least that's what Mia is reporting. She also did an interview today on Facebook. We want to talk about this some more. And the reason, okay, I have to, you know what? I have to take a breath. I realize it's a good thing we have a psychologist on the line with us, Dr. Susanna Flores, who is the author of Face Hooked and Untamed, The Psychology of the Psychology of Marvel's Wolverine joins us. This is what they mean by triggered, Doc. Yes.
No, that's a very good word to use right now. Yeah. I think a lot of us are getting triggered.
Right, which sounds like we're being wusses or whatever. And the way I mean this, and I also want to invite John O'Malley, who was kind enough actually to come up to me and introduce himself. And I think we've met before. John O'Malley is a former U.S. Marshal. And John, you retired as was it chief inspector?
Yes.
So you were kind enough to come up to me and introduce yourself, of all places, at the Irish American Heritage Center, where we were celebrating Irish Fest. Well, guess what? Mm. People were wearing flags from other countries. Oh, no. But nobody got yelled at. Nobody got yelled at. Nobody got accosted. Nobody got harassed at Irish Fest. And
I had a White Sox shirt on, Patty. I got harassed for wearing a White Sox up on the North Side.
That'll teach you, John. What are you thinking, officer?
Exactly.
But Doc, the reason as I posted on social media, I grew up just less than a half a mile away from Caldwell Woods. That's where I used to go tobogganing, and that's where I take my kids for hikes. But just three mm-hmm. blocks from there is where I would have my face held down against the pavement and force-fed garbage because I'm Mexican. Mm-hmm. It's not that I thought that my neighborhood had grown more. I just thought that they were just more quiet about it. But here we go with this guy Timothy in this woman's face. What happens when someone thinks they have the right to attack someone like that, Doc?
Well, it's a sense of entitlement based on repeated messages that one receives over and over and over, entitling them to the same thoughts and feelings as the person extending that message. Sounds familiar.
It was very strange. I mean, I guess that flag just sent him over the edge, and he was enraged, constantly verbally attacking this woman. And John, the thing that people are also enraged about, there are two elements of this are so bizarre. This guy yelling at Mia, and then Officer Patrick Connor, who just stood there. John, is this, people are saying, by the way, John, that no laws were broken. What was the cop supposed to do? Why didn't she just get her barriqua on and take care of it herself? John, what should the officer have done in this situation?
No, I actually disagree. There was a law being broken. You cannot forcibly come up to someone and get up in their personal space. So my feeling is the officer should have assessed that situation very quickly, started giving verbal commands for that gentleman to get away from who we now know is this woman, Mia, and separate that, you know, just totally dismantle that whole situation.
Because it could have escalated. And again, I have a friend named Michelle, and she was on my Facebook page. You can see the thread where she was like, you know, he was loud, he was obnoxious, get over it. But if this was going on for almost 40 minutes, she's in the place that she wants to be to celebrate a birthday party. He's the one, as you mentioned, getting into her space.
Yeah, exactly. That officer is duty bound. He took an oath to, and you were, you know, talking about you being triggered. I was triggered watching that by watching a law enforcement officer who was on scene not taking care of the situation, not trying to de-escalate what was going on. He is duty bound to do so. And I would, you know, the guy's been charged. It sounds like. I mean, I would like to see part of his sentence go and do that at Humboldt Park, a division in California, and tell people there. You know, he picks on this young girl. He's obviously drunk. We saw that, older gentleman. But it was real close, and he was charged, I believe, with assault. That was an assault. You cannot enter someone's personal space like that, enraged and getting up in their face, pointing, and that is a crime.
Repeatedly.
Yeah, you're right, doctor. And Dr. Susana Flores is, again, we've talked to Dr. Susana Flores. She's an author and psychologist. And John O'Malley is joining us, a law enforcement analyst. Doc, tell me, you know, what is it that that it's okay, I guess, to wear an Irish flag or maybe wear, you know, Great Britain? Right. I mean, and so, you know, we're seeing people who are, you know, accosting people in public because they're speaking Spanish, because they're wearing the Puerto Rican flag, because they are mowing someone else's lawn. Do you think, and someone asked me this earlier, do you think that we are seeing more of this? Are people being more brazen under the climate that we're living in right now, that this seems like acceptable behavior?
I think it's a little bit of both. I used to teach diversity at a university, and we would often have to explain to perhaps the privileged group that this sort of stuff happens every day. And whenever we would say that, teachers would get like the deer in the headlights look, like, every day? And we're like, yes, every day. What we're seeing here is a movement towards video recording all of this for one's safety, for awareness, and it gets blasted on social media. And at first we get outraged and angry, and then we are doing something called learned helplessness, where eventually we're just kind of taking it until we see another video like this where we get triggered, as you said. And so it's a combination, you know, to get back to the question of, yes, it happens every day, but I think people are more hypervigilant, more alert that you have to carry your smartphone everywhere, minorities especially, to be able to capture some of these incidents in order to stop them.
Yeah, it is upsetting, and on top of that, Doc, you have folks that are feeling as though they're being accosted and challenged in ways that perhaps is familiar. But then on top of it, John, to have law enforcement not only stand there and do nothing, but basically turn his back on this woman, and people already feel as though, you know, this is what happens to minorities. And the way they're watching this, John, is that, you know, does Patrick Connor agree with Timothy Tiger? Right.
Well, right. I mean, he almost gave the impression he was condoning it. I mean, he let this guy walk around at will, and at any moment that could have gotten physical. And
yes.
You know, I don't know if he was worried about. My understanding is he called for backup, but at a certain point, he has to take action. He has to fall back on his training. I don't know what his training is, but what I saw, it tells me his training was poor at best. And he has to take action, especially when you have a victim who's asking the officer to intervene in this situation.
That's what's so crazy-making is that she kept asking the officer, could you please help me? She kept asking Timothy, his name again, I'm sorry, I've been saying it wrong. It's Tribus, Timothy G. Tribus. And one of the things the officer has said is that, that guy is around here a lot. So apparently they're used to it as though, yeah, don't pay him any mind. But he wasn't giving me a chance to let it go because she was just where she was supposed to be.
Right. And okay, if he's familiar with this guy, he did seem like a guy who hangs out in the woods, drinks or whatever he does. He was with somebody, it finally took a friend of his, I believe, at the end of the video to intervene and kind of put the guy under control. And that's all fine. If he's familiar with this guy, he hangs out at Caldwell Woods, the Forest Preserve police are familiar with him. That's one thing. But when he sees this guy approaching this woman numerous times and getting aggressive, he has to take some kind of, start with verbal commands and then take some kind of physical action to remove him from her space, de-escalate the situation, and move him onto a whole different area where the confrontation is over.
Here, Michael's got some audio from the Forest Preserve. Was this from their press conference?
Yes, that's correct.
All right, cool.
I'm not sure whether or not you were able to see this, but the officer in question, you know, he did ask for assistance on his radio. And additional officers arrived, and then that's when everything took place, his arrest.
So he radioed for assistance, and that's what a lot of people are saying, John, is that, well, you know, he wanted to wait for backup. That's what one of the Facebook folks that I have said, well, you know, the procedure is to wait for assistance. That seems as though, as you mentioned, the danger was present and imminent for her.
Yeah, and that's fine. He should call for backup. But in the meantime, you can't just stand there and let this guy roam around that pavilion area approaching this woman, from my recollection, three or four times, acting erratic. And at any moment, like I said, that could have gotten physical. And then what?
Right.
You know, then he's going to react. Again, he didn't give one verbal command. If he knows the guy, then he should have said, you know, called him by name, had him step back away from her, apologize to this woman. The bottom line is he didn't want to take any action. I don't know if he was... you know, he looked to see, to me, like an older officer. Was he worried that she was videotaping? The bottom line, he's duty-bound. He took an oath. He's got to take action when he sees a crime being committed. I don't care what they're trying to say now. He didn't act, not even at a minimum that I saw in that three-minute video.
Yeah, that was appalling. Go ahead, Doc. Go ahead.
Well, what the message there to people then is that he doesn't care or he is in agreement with whatever he was saying. I mean, that is what, you know, the feeling that people have, whether or not it's true, but that's the message there. Like, he was just standing there. Watching that video, and I'm fired up too. That's not obvious already. But, you know, I just wanted him to even have a presence, like, just be there, like, by her side, something, anything.
Exactly.
And it leads to anger.
He's wearing a bulletproof vest. He's got equipment. I don't know what non-lethal, if he has a taser or pepper spray or a baton. He has the means to handle a situation especially when he knows backup is en route.
Do we
know? Certainly step in.
John, do you happen to know? We're going to get some more audio when we come back after the break. But do you happen to know what brought the officer to the site? Because I don't know. Because if you call 911, you wouldn't get the Forest Preserve police, would you?
Yeah, sure. If you called 911, the OAMC would then also get in contact. I'm quite positive that they monitor the zone in that area, would be the 16th District, and they they would respond to any calls inside the Forest Preserve property. It's my understanding that they were there in that area for a call just prior to that, unrelated to this incident. And so he just happened to be in that area.
So, and that's, again, to my friend Michelle, who was like, I don't think the cops had to be involved. Mia Izziari didn't even call the police. She was trying to handle it and kept and if you hear her voice, she repeatedly asked him to get away from her, you know, leave me alone. So we'll listen to some more audio when we come back. Again, we're talking to Dr. Susana Flores. She is the author of Face Hooked, an incredible book that talks about our addiction to social media and how we react to each other that way. And also the new book, Untamed, The Psychology of Marvel's Wolverine. We're also talking to John O'Malley, and I have your title too, and I know you sent that to me. I'll have the whole title ready for you in just a moment. I'm gonna just you know what, I'll find it in a second and make sure everyone knows that John O'Malley.
I'm just a citizen now, Patty.
He's just a citizen now, a former law enforcement. He was with the U.S. Marshal and retired as a chief.
I was the chief deputy in the Northern District of Illinois.
That I knew it was like a big job, and I it just fell out of my head. Let me get the whole title for him, for our guests. If you want to join our conversation, of course, the text line is lighting up. You can call us as well, 312-981-7200. You're listening pretty late, and I'm a little bit upset about my neighborhood. That's the Northwest Side. What are you doing, folks? More in a moment on 720 WGN. Chicago has some of the greatest forest preserves anywhere. So many great places to take a hike. Maybe in the wintertime, you can go sledding and you can barbecue. You can rent one of those pavilions and have a birthday party, which was what Mia, a young woman named Mia, did. She had reserved a pavilion, had a permit, and reserved the space for a birthday party. And while she was setting up, a guy named Timothy G. Tribus came up to her demanding to know why she was wearing a shirt displaying the Puerto Rican flag, asks her whether or not she is an American citizen, even though, by the way, everybody, hello. What's the maddening part of that, Dr. Flores? Asking someone if she's an American citizen because she's wearing a Puerto Rican flag?
Right. Something along the lines of, you know, U.S. does not have the, or the Puerto Rico is not a territory of the United States. Wasn't that the argument?
Yeah, and it is. It is. She's American because Puerto Rico is part of the United States. I don't know how many times we have to say this. Puerto Rico is part of the United States. Everybody say it with me. Puerto Rico is part of the United States. Thank you, Jen. How about John? John, do you want to give it a shot?
John. Sure. Puerto Rico is part of the United States.
Excellent. That's our guests on the line are our Dr. Susana Flores. She's a psychologist and author of the book Face Hooked and the newest book Untamed, The Psychology of Marvel's Wolverine. And John O'Malley is retired chief deputy of the United States Marshals for the Northern District of Illinois. He's now in corporate security and acts as the law enforcement analyst for WGN and WLS-TV. And I we're getting some texts here, Doc. I think you'll enjoy one of these. Hold on a second.
Okay.
Actually, you probably, some of these are very, people are very upset that the officer didn't do anything. Oh, by the way, we're also getting texts about my waffle iron tofu. That's neither here nor there. I'm one of those minorities that you speak of, but come on, really. She should have just ignored them. It's sad and pathetic how soft and sensitive society is. So...
Wait, is that a text that you got?
Yep. And that's a tone I'm reading it in. It's pathetic how soft and sensitive society is now at this point. Plus, you act like only white people perpetrate these type of actions. It seems like you're saying that minorities are never the culprits of racism or stereotyping anybody, because really, I can't use that word, society is full of crybabies at this point.
Wow.
What do you think, Doc?
Well, that's an interesting way of justifying racism.
Yeah. That's kind of, and it's funny because I don't know what that, I'm not sure what I never exclusively.
What were some of the things that she said? She said that minorities are not, or act like they're not racist against the privileged group. Is that what she's saying?
I guess. Yes.
That doesn't quite work that way. If you are part of the oppressed and you complain about being oppressed, that's not racism.
Yeah.
Like this woman was defending herself.
Well, and as John, you pointed out, he was breaking the law. So it goes beyond just, he hurt my feelings. That's not what we're talking about here, is it?
No, that's not what, again, this was a conversation from across the pavilion and made ignorant comments. That's one thing. But he approached her numerous times and got extremely up in her face and had the intention or at least the possibility to get physically violent with her, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's a thing that's just so maddening. And people are asking, John, what kind of responsibility do the Cook County Forest Preserve, like, what's their, I guess, the extent of their responsibility in law enforcement?
Their jurisdiction?
Yeah.
Yeah, they are sworn officers, go through the regular police academy, just like any law enforcement officer in Illinois. They have arrest powers. They are sworn officers.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. Michael, can we hear the audio of Mia trying to kind of basically walk away from this guy, and he keeps yelling at her?
You should not be wearing that in the United States of America.
Okay. Yes, I am a citizen.
Are you a United States citizen?
Can you please get away from me?
Then you should not be wearing
Can you please...
That.
Officer, officer, I feel not highly uncomfortable. Can
Are you
please
citizen?
Grab him?
Yeah, I mean, she's directly asking the officer for help. I don't know how else to put it, how more plainly to put it. When you ask an officer for help, it seems as though we see all these other videos of officers arriving, and for the most part, they've handled it very level-headedly. But they often ask the person that's been called on for ID, and Officer Patrick Connor says nothing to Timothy Tribus. Not a word to him in this video.
Not one word. And again, all he had to do was give verbal commands to Timothy to step away, come over here by me. If he started to ignore those verbal commands, then he needs to take physical action.
It's very...
That is police 101.
It's
I was even just shocked at how calm she was.
Yes.
You know, considering all of that. And what, you know, some non-minorities may not understand is that, you know, minority children are usually trained by their parents of, you know, like what to, it's called the talk. What do you do when there are officers present, and what do you do to protect yourself and to not get shot or to not get accosted? I think this was probably part of the talk where she had to remain very, as emotionally calm as she could considering the circumstances.
Yeah, I thought she was incredibly level-headed about it. I don't know how I would have reacted either. I mean, especially if you have an officer there who isn't helping you, then you feel like, oh, well, this is institutionalized. This is like part of what goes on in this community, and that's, you know, it's just horrible on every level, right?
I'm sure at some point she just realized that the officer was not going to help her, and that is the most terrifying thing of all.
And you messaged me too, Doc, about learned helplessness. Tell us a little bit about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's when a person or animal is repeatedly punished or mortified or traumatized, that eventually, after a while, they begin to lose hope and forget to fight back or to leave. So when people have an escape or a way out of a situation, they don't take it because they've learned to accept their fate. And that's usually a result of what a psychiatrist friend of mine called mortification fatigue, which is what we're experiencing, whether it's the overt racism in the administration or overt racism in these videos. We get exhausted to the point that we don't really act until there is a video like this or an incident big enough that would joggle us back into action and remind us that we do have choice and that we do have the ability to fight back.
It's such an interesting thing. I know that people, don't want to talk about it or think it's not that big of a deal, or she should have just moved on, or Patty should move on. But guess what? I'm not going to. Doc, can you hang on for one more segment?
Sure.
After the news? John, how do you feel? Are you up for it?
I'm good to go.
All right, because I want to ask a little bit about what Dr. Flores was talking about as far as accepting your fate and how, you know, the image like this with law enforcement and how that affects minority communities. You know, this kind of shows them that they're not wrong about the police not having their back. And there are so many police officers that do the job and show up and are present in communities that most of us won't even stop in. So I want to talk a little bit about how this doesn't help officers that are on the job doing the right job, the right work. So let's talk about that when we come back. You're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. Andrea is off tonight. Cook County Board President Tony Preckwinkle has apologized to Mia, who was the woman who was berated by a man at the Forest Preserve because she was wearing a Puerto Rican flag t-shirt. And on top of the really despicable ugliness that we saw in that video, which, by the way, it's about 3 minutes in most of the videos you're watching, but there's a longer 36-minute video in which this goes on and on, and the aftermath in which other officers did show up. We are on the line with Dr. Susana Flores, who is a psychologist and the author of Face Hooked and the recently released Untamed, The Psychology of Marvel's Wolverine. And we also have on the line with us John O'Malley, who's retired Deputy United States Marshal for the Northern District of Illinois. He's now in corporate security. And he also does a lot. You heard him probably earlier in the day on Ro Khan's show talking about this. What I do want to address the fact that a lot of people are going to watch this video and get really angry at the officer for doing nothing as she repeatedly asks for help. John, were you concerned at all when you saw this and the way, you know, this sort of perpetuates the idea that cops won't help minorities or they're, you know, they're on the side of the white guy? Because that's not the truth.
That is not the truth. And yes, that was my concern watching it the first couple of times, is that, you know, why is a guy so apprehensive about intervening? And was he waiting for something more to happen? And we've been talking about that. There's so many officers who, as you mentioned, work in neighborhoods that most people will not even go into, and they do an admirable job. I would call it a heroic job. And why this guy didn't take action, I can't get inside his mind, other than we got to start training these officers better. And he should have seen the risk that was essentially at play with this woman and take action. It's simple as that.
It does seem as simple as that, but and yet nothing has happened. And Doc, what do you think this does as far as the psychology? When we see more and more of these videos, do you think some people are like, good, I'm glad that we're catching these folks on video, but are we mm-hmm. also kind of being driven to that idea of dividing us? You know, some people are really frustrated that we're seeing more of these videos and it's just race baiting and we're feeding this fire of hostility toward each other.
Well, none of us are creating it by posting it. We're just simply bringing awareness to it. And, you know, in terms of, like, if people being divided or fighting on social media, to be very honest with you, within these past couple of years, it's my worst nightmare realized when I was writing Face Hooked on the potential dangers of social media. Now, that being said, what I do like is that people are being held accountable for their behaviors through the multiple sharing. And like-minded individuals who want to fight oppression are offering support to each other and helping the message get across that way.
I agree. I think that, and this is another question I had. Joe has exactly what my next question was going to be. Joe, what did you want to say, Joe?
Me? Sorry.
Yeah,
I just, I saw that video yesterday, and I'm a frequent user of the Forest Reserve District. And I'm just thinking, like, whether that was an officer or just a citizen, I just think anyone should feel compelled to stand by that woman who was calling for help when an obvious goofball was assaulting her.
I agree. I'm a Budinsky. I often, to much the chagrin of my husband, who wishes I would just stay out of stuff. But there are people who go toward situations like this and want to help. And the reason I mentioned earlier about my experience growing up in Norwood Park, just blocks away from where this harassment happened at Caldwell Woods, is everyone has a choice in life, right? And how you deal with the trauma. For me, it was getting beat up in grade school and victimized. Kids were brutal. I had to run home to not get beat up sometimes. And so my sort of experience in this is to not want to see other people feel that way. I know how awful it is, and I want to help. But not everybody does, Doc, do they? Some people figure someone else will handle it, or it's not my job, or this isn't my responsibility, don't you think?
Well, yes, with certain individuals, it's a matter of, well, me and my family are fine, and so therefore we don't have to act. However, if one does nothing to protect those that are defenseless or that are victimized, then they are part of the problem.
I think so, too. And, John, I mean, I would think that most people who become officers, who become first responders, I have to believe that most of them are the same way, that they run toward danger or run...
Yes.
You know, they're there to help and protect, serve.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Pat, that when you were mentioning people who run towards danger are called police officers.
Right.
And in this, and you know, I don't want to over-exaggerate this either. He didn't start to physically attack this woman.
Right.
And the officer stood there. My issue is, it could have easily escalated to that in a second, based on the way this guy was so riled up and obviously intoxicated.
No doubt.
No, I think
yes, go ahead,
what makes people angry, too, is just sometimes the officers are not really reprimanded, at least appropriately to the regarding whatever happened. So in this case, if I know that there's a protocol that occurs in an investigation. So to my understanding, I believe he was put on leave. But I think that the thing that also fuels anger is when certain police officers get off the hook pretty easily.
Yeah.
Well, I would disagree there, Doc, especially as I sit on the Chicago Police Board, and that I think that's a misperception, and also being 26 years in federal law enforcement. Law enforcement officers are held accountable. There are processes in place, but a lot of times it's not maybe the punishment that...
No, I do understand that there are policies in place. I guess I'm referring more to like some very high-profile cases where people are making these assumptions about officers based on what they see, and in at least... to my memory, many of the cases, officers are not either immediately fired, even when something was very blatantly wrong, or could have potentially killings, etc. It's difficult to avoid, the feelings that come along with these experiences, and I do feel the need to just kind of share my own. I am Mexican-American, but I'm very light-complected, and in North Carolina was pulled over, I think, I don't know, speeding issue maybe, I don't remember, but when the officer looked at my ID and saw Flores, he asked me if it was real. And I was in a state of shock, and I was trying so hard to suppress the anger that I felt at the time, because again, the talk, you're supposed to be calm, you're supposed to be, do everything that you're supposed to be. And then afterwards, I have law enforcement in my family and first responders and military in my family as well. But I had to sit with it. It was like and tell myself over and over. It was one time incident,
right?
Until of course, with certain groups of people, it happens again and again and again. And so these are the things that people are grappling with.
That's the perspective. I mean, there's the experience, there's the practical, there's the sort of the aspirational aspect of law enforcement, and we have to take each thing individually. And I guess, getting to these arguments can be frustrating for those listening, but at least you're hearing different points of view. And I think that's the important thing, too, is to listen, to share, and to I guess, listen with empathy to what people are saying. Joe, thank you so much for calling, and I'll see you in the Forest Preserve, all right?
Hey, thanks a lot.
Of course. Let's check in with Nick. Nick has something he wanted to say, too. He had a question probably more for John than for me. Hey, Nick, how are you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
Very well. What'd you want to ask?
Yeah, listen, what kind of capper was this guy? I'm a retired Chicago topper, 34 years on the street. Is this guy a Chicago copper?
No. Cook County Forest Preserve.
All right, let's differentiate between, call him a Cook County.
Absolutely.
Don't call him a cop, a police officer. Let's check this copper's background. What's he made out of? Is he a part-time copper?
Well, he is a police officer. He's a sworn police officer. He's not a
Chicago copper.
Officer.
There's a lot of difference. You know that.
There absolutely is, but he still should be trained, as you know, to take action when there's a crime being committed right on view in front of him.
Tell you, sir, he can do all the training he wants in the world. If he ain't got it inside of him, he ain't got it.
Correct.
It's what he's made out of.
Nick is fired up. I think Nick is so fired up, he's got an echo going on his line. Nick, I thank you so much both for your service and your comments. All right, have a good night, sir. Thank you. This is something that I don't see these stories necessarily going away, Doc, as people continue to stand their ground in these situations and say, I'm not going to back down from somebody who wants to verbally assault me.
I don't think they're going away anytime soon. I don't think the videos are going to go away anytime soon either. And I think that we just, have to remain vigilant and aware. And I do agree that we need to support our officers that, do risk their lives every day. And also for situations like this, hold individuals accountable for not acting within the duties of the profession.
And that's the thing, too, John, is with these videos, I know that some people were speculating earlier that maybe the officer, Patrick Connor, didn't respond because he was worried about how it might have come across on the video. But, you know, complacency and apathy and not responding are not playing well either, are they?
That's true. And what I told the deputy marshals that worked under my command and is that you give correct verbal warnings, correct verbal demands, and you use the force necessary to effect the arrest. You cannot play to any videos, and I think body cameras now are great. I don't know if Cook County Forest Preserve wears body cameras, but you can't be afraid of the camera. You have to fall back on your training, act professional, and take the matter at hand and control it.
Yeah, that's really the thing, is it, you know.
That's the bottom line, yeah.
That's the bottom line. Well, we'll leave it at the bottom line. Again, we've been talking to John O'Malley. He is a law enforcement analyst that you can catch on WLS-TV and right here on WGN. You might have heard him earlier today on the Ro Khan Show. He is a retired U.S. Marshal, retired as a deputy chief for the Northern District of Illinois. And Dr. Susana Flores, who is a psychologist and an author. You can pick up Untamed and her newest book on Amazon.com. It's about the psychology of Marvel's Wolverine, and her book Facehooked is also excellent reading. Doc, John, thank you so much for joining us for this conversation.
No, thank you, guys.
Have a
Take
great
care.
Night.
Good night.
You both get some sleep, will you? More after this on 720 WGN.
Hello world, in a song that we're singing. Come on, get happy.
Perfect, right? I mean, it's just be happy songs, because no matter what we talk about for 2 hours, no matter how much we make you laugh or make you angry or make you sad, I want to end the show every night on a high note. And we might even bring back, we had a segment before you joined us, Michael, a segment called What We Meant to Get To, which was like, you know, if you sent me topics, and sometimes our boss Stephanie will send us topics, and we're like, oh, we'd love to talk about that. Mm-hmm. And then we just race through all the things that we didn't have time for. We actually have a theme song for it that's pretty good, as you used to be here for that too, didn't you? I think that, let me see if I can find the...
I do remember that. That's, and you guys would dance.
One? This one. Oh, yeah. I love this one. So I think, again, we have this conversation. Some people get angry about some of the things that we talk about, but we're going to disagree on things. And that's the beauty of being human beings, by the way, having rational thought and wanting to talk these things out. And it's also part of being an American and having your First Amendment right to speak up and, you know, I mean, within reason, not to, you know, hurt anybody or cost anybody, but or put somebody in danger. But I want to end the show every night. That's why we've been doing Tell Me Something Good at the end of the shows. And I'm so fired up about this summer. I don't know. The weather is, I know it gets hot once in a while. I even love the rain once in a while. I'm enjoying the hell out of this summer. And as I'm sad, though, a little bit that you're leaving me tomorrow, which is
I'll
fine.
Be back.
I know you're coming back, but still you're leaving for a little bit. How long are you going to Cal? Can I say where you're going?
Yeah. I'll be in LA and San Diego. Till next Tuesday. Mm-hmm.
And
I'll be back Wednesday.
But you're staying with some friends?
Staying with family.
Excellent.
I have a friend is getting married.
Ooh.
Out there, a friend from high school. So
very fun. Well, you'll be down close to the beach.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of great places to hang out, obviously, where you're going to be staying. So I'm jealous and excited for you. Are you flying like a value airline?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Are you doing Spirit?
Yes.
Oh. I always laugh because they offer ramen noodles as one of their meals.
Really?
Yes. I don't know.
Interesting.
Who wants to fly and have a meal, consume a meal that's expansive upon contact with your digestive system?
And I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring some jerky. Got some chickpeas.
Yeah.
I think I'm allowed to bring. I have some cherries in my fridge.
Perfect. See? And those are
and
all things.
It's only like a... Four?
It's 4 hours.
4 hour, yeah.
Yeah, it's a
That's
good,
not bad.
It's a good 4 hours. And you get there earlier. So when you land there, you gain a couple hours, which is nice too.
Yeah, I try to get places as early as possible.
Uh-huh.
So we're leaving 10 a.m.
Okay, there you go.
So then we'll be there
at noon
their time, yeah.
Yep, perfect. Perfect. Are you flying to LAX or to Burbank? Well, probably LAX.
No, flying into San Diego first. And
Are you driving up?
Yes.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, I'm going to stay a couple days. I have family in San Diego I haven't seen in about 8 years. So we're all going to get together. I'm going to see them and then off to LA.
Oh, that's wonderful. I'm jealous. I haven't had a chance to go back to Los Angeles in a bit. So I will live vicariously through anything that you post.
Okay.
Enjoy your travels.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Michael, I saw some photos of you out on the lake on a boat. What were you doing?
Yeah, I was just like you, trying to enjoy the summer weather. The first time I've ever gotten to enjoy in Chicago's famed playpen, which is the area of boats where all the young scoundrels go out and get their boats and their friends and the sun. And I got to celebrate a friend's birthday, so we took a boat out and saw everybody. And it was a really good time. It was a perfect day to go out on the boat, so I had a blast.
Does it make you kind of want to have your own boat,
oh
like
my
someday?
Gosh, I would want the boat life so bad. I want to figure out a way where I can get that, because we needed to pay money to be on the boat, and it was a little bit more pricey, and I thought, oh my gosh, I don't know if I could manage it. But then you, of course, put all the thoughts of, then it's going to cost this much to dock it and everything, and then I slowly drift away from being a boat person, no pun intended.
Well, I think the upkeep is expensive. I at least want to be able to to have access to rent somebody. There must be good boat sharing programs.
Yeah.
You would think, right?
I'd be down for just a rowboat to take you out there.
Sailboat. Nice. Have you ever gone to sailing on a small boat?
Yes, I was lucky enough when I was very young. My uncle owned a boat, and we would go out on Lake Michigan and see.
It's just nice to just drift. Mm-hmm. That's the thing about I love in the summer when you're out in the water in whatever way you have access to just float.
Yeah,
you know,
just float, just like the movie It.
Yeah,
it floats.
Whenever I do you ever have mentally when you try to center yourself, when you're trying to when people talk about their happy place, mm-hmm. Do you have because I tap into a memory of being at Girl Scout camp and just floating. And it was Lake Pleasant in near East Troy, Wisconsin. I went to Camp Juniper Knoll, and so whenever I try to focus my think of something really happy, I always think of being 12 and being in the water and just floating without a single care in the world.
Oh, that's your happy place.
That's my happy place. Yep. Sun shining. Loved that. I was just thinking about that. We stopped by Equestrian Connection. I know we talked about this the other night. It's where my son does hippotherapy, and they have this beautiful trail that leads to a pond, and they have one of those rafts, that you can swim out to, and it reminded me of Girl Scout camp, and that's why I was thinking about it too. And then I got bit by a mosquito, and I thought, let's just go back now. I got bit by a mosquito right in the corner of my eye, and that swelled up. There's something about getting bit on your face. Anyway, that's not something good. That's we're all happy. So for anybody who was riled up about our conversation earlier, take a deep breath. Just relax, everybody. You know what? At the end of the day, I hope that your family is happy, healthy, and safe. I hope that you are enjoying your summer. And what it comes down to is just having a conversation. That's all we are doing here every single night. Nick D is up next. I'm really sad. Okay, I'm not going to add on something happy. I have to say I'm sad. I missed his movie night. They did Forrest Gump tonight. And I'm sure it was a blast. Such a great movie. As Nick continues his summer of celebrating Zemeckis films. And next month, I haven't seen the movie he's doing next month, so I'm sure he'll talk about that when he comes.